Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, May the 22nd, 2026, Memorial Day weekend. 16 minutes past the hour, joined by Matt Morgan in studio. And we were going over the Bravo competition last night. The winner was Helena Gray, and the runner-up was Patience Delaney. Helena got a $1,000 $1,000 scholarship. Patience, I believe, got $700. Okay, Matt, your critique of this performance was what?
Of just the entire thing?
The whole thing.
Well, I mean, I think that the performers did, you know, in general, pretty well, I guess. But, I mean, I think that the judges talked too long. And I think that for talking too long, I don't think they said a whole lot of much of anything. I think they kind of reused what they said for everybody to some extent.
And there are just gaps in the show. That's the thing that I notice, the gaps. When somebody would introduce somebody, sometimes there was as much as a 7 or 8 minute gap before the person ever started performing. That takes the push out of your performance.
I would figure that... Well, yes, there is that. I would figure that it would be best to, like, while the judges are giving their 7 minute dissertations, you get the other people ready.
Well, and also an introduction is to say, hey, your attention, here we go. Well, if you know there's going to be a delay, why are you introducing the person before the delay? If there's a delay, wait the 7 minutes and then say, hey, we're back. And now we've got a great performance by... I've never seen it done that way, where you would announce somebody, and then the delay, and then they would just start performing.
Also, I think it just was kind of laid out strange. Like, there were 8 people performing. Okay. And there were 5 people who went, and then there was intermission. And then there were, like, 3 people left. And then they went into, like, a whole nother intermission.
I gotta say, last night, I only knew one song. Of the entire performance, the whole night, I only knew one song that was performed last night, and that was the first song that Piper Krosky did. She did a song, I think it was from Rocky Horror, I think, but it was a familiar song.
Is that the Don't Stop Me Now?
Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah. I know that one.
So that was it. The rest of the songs I did not know.
Look, I would just like to point out that one of the songs was simple. Now, look, I only knew 2 of the songs, okay? So maybe I'm uncultured also. But, you know, I didn't know the first one, but I also knew Simple Man by, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Apparently Scott is not aware of Simple Man.
No, because I don't think that's their big song.
I think that is their big song.
No, no, I've heard Lynyrd Skynyrd, and they have a bigger song than that. But that's
what,
fine.
Like 3 Steps?
I don't know. Just because... No, don't they do... what do they do? I know they have a big, big, big hit.
I'm telling you, Simple Man is their big, big,
no,
big hit.
No, that's not their big hit. What is Lynyrd Skynyrd's big song? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Sweet Home Alabama.
There it is. I was going to say that, but I was afraid I was going to be wrong. But yeah, Sweet Home Alabama.
All right, their top 3 songs are Sweet Home Alabama, Simple Man, and Free Bird.
Yeah. But Sweet Home Alabama is it. I know that.
Sweet
I've heard
Alabama
that.
Is a terrible song.
No, I've heard that.
Simple Man's good. Freebird. I got a lot of their songs. See? Look at that.
Yeah, but everybody's heard Sweet Home
Alabama.
Oh,
they got the Ballad of Curtis Lowe? How did I forget about the Ballad of Curtis Lowe?
Again, I'm not saying I'm the most cultured person in the world when it comes to these things. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, trivia question. Yeah, Matt just gave the answer, but Freebird is also a big Skynyrd song.
Right, but I mean, Sweet Home Alabama, I have heard. Freebird, I have heard.
Simple Man, you really have to be a bit of a classic rock fan to know the song. I mean, I know it.
It's their second most popular song.
It's certainly familiar to people that know the band.
Right, I don't know the band, but I do know Sweet Home Alabama. I have heard
Freebird. What's Your Name is another popular song by them, but Freebird's a bit of a cult favorite because of the live version being long. And because the guy says, what song is it you want to hear? And they all say Freebird.
Yeah.
If they had a flagship song, I would go with Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, absolutely. There was a whole movie.
Terrible.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, have a good day.
All right. Well, but again, not knowing the song.
It's not a bad song. It's just.
Well, no, wait, let me say here. Not knowing the song is not the problem.
Sweet Home Alabama. Sorry, go ahead.
Not knowing the song is not the problem. If I don't know the song, that's fine. A matter of fact, that might be a check mark in your category because I've never heard it performed before. So if you do it great, good. It's just all the songs seem to be downbeat last night. I think only one song really was upbeat. Maybe two.
Probably. I mean, Simple Man's not exactly upbeat, I guess. The other ones were, like, mostly musical. I mean, I guess not the other ones. I mean, Roman had, like, a slower song, but not upbeat. Yeah. I think the only upbeat song would be Don't Stop Me Now or whatever the name of that song would be.
Right, which was very good. I think Patience's song was upbeat. But... What is it? I'm Me... I Like Me Better Than Me With You or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. In any event, but all of these people are tremendous singers, I believe. I think they all sing very well.
And dance. There's a dancer.
And the dancer dance very well to patriotic music. But I just thought, well, number one, last night the crowd was a problem because the crowd did not seem to feel the need to stop talking when people were performing. And that's a problem.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily blame them. I mean, while they're performing is a different thing, I guess. I mean, while they're performing, you got to be quiet. But there were, like we mentioned, like just gaps in between because
that's the problem.
They'd introduce somebody, and then everybody would be quiet for about 30 seconds, and then they'd start talking.
Now, last week I criticized the MC for not dressing up. She dressed up last
week. I think she dressed worse this time than last time.
Well, I don't think it's good to criticize somebody's dress.
You already did.
Yeah, but now I'm giving credit. Because she put on a sweater last night, and she put on a nice necklace, and she was getting her hair done, actually, as she was going up there. So I think she did try to dress it up a little bit, and I give her credit for that. Good for her.
Okay.
Yeah, it just looked better than the week before. Week before, it looked like she walked off the street. This last night, she looked like she, you know, she got to about 60%.
Yeah, I can give you 60%.
But the week before, she was not at 60%.
I think
she was far below it.
I'd like 70.
You don't wear a tank top. You don't wear a tank top up on the stage. You just don't do that.
Well, you
that is not. In any way dressy.
Well, you don't wear, like denim, not denim, you don't wear, like jean shorts.
Nobody sees the bottom half of you. Nobody's looking at the bottom half. All the pictures that were taken last night, the bottom half of her is not going to be in it. That's why your bottom, who wears dressy pants?
Nobody, but...
That's right.
Blue jeans. Wear blue jeans.
I don't like whatever. Don't wear shorts. But I'm just saying, she got the part right that she needed to get right. She got her hair done. She put on the nice necklace. She got on the nice shirt. That was good. So give her credit for that. But the judges, that just... nothing against them. It's just it takes too long in between performances to go through this whole litany... there's no criticism. It's just all, you were better than last week, your tone was good, you know, so on and so forth.
Also, everybody got an award.
Well, yes, there's that. You know, everybody did get an award last night. So, I don't know. You knew who the winner was going to be, because it was the last person who didn't get an award. And I don't know if that's very good. I honestly don't know. You know, we have this big discussion now in sports. Should everybody get an award? And people don't seem to like that. But that's what happened last night. Everybody got an award.
Well, I don't think you can run a competition and then give everybody an award. It kind of defeats the purpose of a competition, doesn't it?
I don't know, because I don't quite understand some of those awards. Like, I'm trying to remember what some of the titles were, but... You know,
like the
strongest performance.
There was like...
Well, if you had the strongest performance, shouldn't you be the winner?
Strongest performer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even performance, performer.
Okay, well, I would think that would be the winner.
Yeah, I would also think that would be the winner. But I guess not, no.
Most Improved.
There was Most Improved. There was the
Congeniality.
Congeniality. There was like Braveheart. Fan Favorite. I think the Fan Favorite one went off of the receipts, and yeah.
Right, but now see, to me, that's kind of a bad award to get, because what does that really say about your musical ability?
Well, I mean, people had to buy things, and then get receipts, and then put the receipts in the bucket that they wanted. So, I mean, obviously the crowd liked you more than other people.
Maybe. Well, see, but isn't that an odd thing? The crowd liked you more. How big a percentage did that figure in? Well, here it is. Apparently it's on the paper here.
Oh, look at that.
Audience support counts for 25% of the total score. Okay. But that's all it says. So apparently 75% came from the judges.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of goofball, because that means that the judges are really choosing the winner here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. What's the whole point of the receipt thing, then?
Truth be told, if I had to guess, I think the receipt thing was probably just a way for them to make money for the business. I don't think that it was really... I think that they probably just said, hey, we need some kind of reason for you guys to be doing this here. And they said, well, receipt buckets.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that should really be 50%. Because I don't even... How do the judges judge? That was really never told.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nobody was ever critical of anybody.
No, I mean, you really could not ever go back and check the numbers on anything, because the judges never told you what their... Was there a rating system? I mean, what was going on there?
I don't know.
It just had a lot of odd. It was a lot of odd. And when there's oddity... Like, I don't think this could pass sports betting. I think the sports betting people would have a problem with this.
I don't know. I mean...
Well, I do.
Never heard of the prediction you think this market.
You think this is going to pass being on the up and up?
I wouldn't... Maybe not on, like, sports betting in particular. I mean, but, like, you ever heard of prediction markets?
Yeah, but you could predict... Like, you would have had to have been there to predict it. It wasn't... Well, let's put it this way. I believe this competition was chosen because of personal relationships, and I don't know what you would call it. Preference? Maybe? I don't know.
Well, I would assume so.
Right, but
the judge has to prefer somebody else over somebody else.
No, that's... you missed it.
Or are you talking about, like...
I'm talking about... I know this person already. I like them already. I've heard them perform already.
Oh.
So that's going to be my preference. Well, if you're a judge, that's not really on the level.
I'd agree, yeah. I think judges are supposed to be, like, non-biased.
So, it just, to me, rang a little... Like, if you had to pick a winner, you would have picked...
I am biased. I probably would have picked,
Now, you're biased too, though.
Yeah. Nope. I probably would have picked Aaron, because...
Nope. Okay.
Because we only went two nights, and he, I liked both of the songs he sang, and he did sing them very well.
So what's your bias?
He played, I think it was Tennessee Whiskey the first time. Great song. Know that song. I like it. And he played Simple Man, and he sang Simple Man really well. And, yeah. So, I mean, I liked the songs. And he did sing them well.
Okay, now this is who you thought was going to win. But did you think going into the announcement of the winner that he had any chance to win?
No.
Okay, now why? Because you knew it was fixed.
I did even... Yes, I thought Helena was going to win for the
show. That's bad.
Because, I mean, it didn't have anything to do with the judges, per se. But, like, on Coaches Week, which was last week... the coach, like, who had Helena was like, oh my gosh, I have Helena, how am I supposed to teach her anything? And instantly in my head right there, I was like, well, I think that pretty much seals the deal for me.
Yeah. I mean, it was also kind of suspect that the two college or high school graduates got the scholarships. You know, if you're gonna do these things a little not on the level, you should probably.
There were three scholarships given out, weren't there? Because Gabriel got $300.
But wasn't that because of the money thing?
Well, yeah, but I thought that that was also like a scholarship.
I thought that was a cash prize.
Oh, well, good for him if he won a cash prize. Even better.
I don't know. I just... Now, if I were picking the... As I said, I thought Piper did a very good job. I thought if you take everything into account, if you take age, voice, song choice, I thought she did very good. But I think a case could also be made for Gabriel.
I think Gabriel was great.
Right. And I think a case could be made for Aaron, because I thought he had a lot of pizzazz on the stage.
He also, yeah, he interacted with the crowd a lot.
Yes. So, you know, I the winner would not have even been in my top three. But again, I don't have any relationships with these people.
Yeah.
So, there you are. So overall, it's kind of like the dance competition at the women's club. Although I can't say there's any fix on that because Linda won.
Well, that's
Linda
good.
Sims from this station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I remember.
You know, after I'm just waiting for the women's club to call up and ask me to do this. You see. Now again, I'm not saying I will do it. 90%, I won't do it. But
well, I think if you want that phone call, you're not trying very hard.
Oh no, I think it'd be good for them to call in and this is not going to win me any awards. But if they had let me try to clean this up. if they wanted to be smart about this, what they would do is they, because they know I'm going to say no, so they would ask me, especially after I criticized them last year, they would ask me, and then they know I'm not going to do it, so they don't have to worry about me doing it. But I obviously would come on and say, well, it was very nice to be asked, you see.
It's just a free promotion.
It's a free promotion, you see. But... because we did have a little conversation about that last year, and apparently the room was filled, and, you know, because Valerie came in, Valerie Wigton, the president, and told us all about that, and I believe her. I have no reason not to. So, you know, good for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's about what you want, I guess.
But I think there was a little heat creep. I can't say for sure. I mean, I don't go to the women's club, but I think there was a little heat created because of me saying that it wasn't. But, well, you know, that's okay. Well, I'm not right all the time.
Now, to be fair, I'm pretty sure it did go something like, I was told I didn't go, so, you know,
grant that's what I said, but they didn't
was
like that.
Told.
they did not like that, I don't think.
Well, I mean,
they weren't rude. I mean, Valerie came in, and so, I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, harsh. It was just, I don't think it went over well, but... it proves people listen to the show, so I like that.
I mean, I don't know. I think they got a little upset.
They might have. I don't know. Good. It's okay. The fact that Valerie came in was fine. We had a wonderful conversation. I have no problem with them.
That's good.
You want to have some real fun, get yourself a show.
You
everything you say.
Fights with people.
Well, I don't think I was picking fights
with
people.
No, yes, that's the point.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, did I hear those words?
What's that?
That you're not always right.
Did I say that?
I thought I heard that.
No, that must have been a mishear. No, I think what... No, you in regard to what was I talking about?
Hell, I don't know.
Well, I certainly was probably right about that then.
I'm on the computer, but I didn't hear those I'm not always right words.
No, what I think what I was saying was the story is not always right that I get, and if the story is wrong, I will correct it. And
okay.
Yeah,
so,
and I think
sometimes you're wrong.
No, not I'm not wrong. No. You misunderstood that. I'm not wrong. The information I got was wrong. So, a good journalist that I am, I will correct that.
Okay. Adam, you keep on about that, but did you see where the Capitol Police are got a lawsuit?
Yeah, they want to stop that money being doled out for the rioter. Hey, you know what? My question.
Hey, man, they're doing God's work down there.
Don't you think that the women's club would be smart to ask me to be one of the dancers?
Well, yeah, you're known here in Marion.
Yeah, but they know I'm not going to do it, so I will say no, but then I will come on and I'll be gracious about it.
Well, it'd just be nice to be asked, wouldn't it?
Sure, but it's like this. This little competition here, you know, they should ask me to be a judge, because I would not be nice every week. Now I would not be rude, but I would say, you know, last week was better.
Your wife, if you went to that competition,
do what?
You might meet your future wife if you went to that dance competition.
Oh no.
Oh, you never know.
No, I know.
Now, do you get to choose your own partners, or are they partners?
No, they pair you up with somebody. See, I would never do it, because, there's rehearsals, and there's things, and, oh.
How often do you got to rehearse?
Oh, I'm sure it's a lot.
Big time commitment.
I don't have that kind of time. But,
That's true. You are busy with working and
doing this thing every morning. It's 5 days a week.
Show, yeah.
Let me tell you about my week this week. Monday, you know what I do during the day here, but at night, Monday night I was at city council. Tuesday night, I went out with a friend and had dinner. Wednesday night, I was here doing the videotaping. Last night, I was at the Bravo competition. And tonight, I'll be here doing the Friday night show. Now, when can I go down and have dance lessons?
Well, that's true. I mean, you do spend a lot of time on the station. Probably a lot more time, you know, compared to what you're making, compared to what you could make if you weren't doing it. And you was into some job situation there, too, you know.
Well, listen, when you're doing radio, you got to put the time in. I mean, it's as simple as I learned that 25 years ago when I, you know, was on MRN. You got to put the time in, and trust me, when I got in those days, it was not a lot of money in the beginning. Got better, but it was not a lot of money in the beginning.
But that's something you like, and it's enjoyable for you to do.
Well, I hope it's, you know, honestly, it's exhausting for me, but I hope the audience enjoys it. If the audience enjoys it, I'll stick around. When the audience doesn't enjoy it anymore, then I'll be gone.
Well, when we all start boycotting and not calling you.
That's right. When the boycott happens, I'll be out of here.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
Later.
All right. 740-383-9944. But you know the thing about this show, and certainly about me over the years, is whether it's this competition, the Bravo, or the Women's Club, I'm just giving you my take. I'm not trying to... What do you want to say? I'm not trying to be friends with these people. I'm telling you what I actually believe. That's all. Now, I'm not trying to be hurtful, and I'm not trying to be false. I hate insincerity. I told you this last night. That is the virtue I hate the most.
It's not a virtue.
It's a virtue. Sincerity is a virtue.
Yeah, insincerity is not.
Right, no. But being insincere comes from sincerity. And I hate sincerity as a virtue, because I believe most people are insincere. They're not sincere.
Then it's not. Then
oh,
it's
we're not
sincerity.
Getting into the word. Oh, I'm not having the word conversations with you today. I'm not doing that. But the point is, people get what I'm saying.
It's the opposite. But okay, yes, continue.
Okay, oh Lord. Okay, if you think sincerity is a bad virtue, obviously it's because you feel people are being insincere. Why would sincerity by itself be a bad virtue?
Well, because if you had if sincerity was one of your virtues, you wouldn't be insincere.
Yes, you can, because I can, like, if I think you're great, I can say, wow, they're great. But if I walk up to you and go, oh my goodness, you are fantastic. You are great. You're one of the best. Now, pretty much the same thing I said, and I'm being sincere in that I think you did great, but my tone is completely insincere, and that's insincerity. So that's why sincerity, I don't think it's necessary. Say it in private to somebody if you think it's okay.
Insincere. That would just mean, like, you don't believe it. It's not sincere.
No, I believe that the performance was good.
Yeah.
But me going up and falling all over the person and saying how great it was, that is sincere.
Well, I think
but
that's
it's
just
the,
dramatic.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, I don't.
So like, again, I don't like sincerity. I don't think that that's good.
People shouldn't be sincere.
No, because I think it leads to insincerity.
No.
Yes, it does.
Sincere people are not insincere.
If people just came up and said
backwards logic.
If people just came and said, "I think you're great," good. So now, that'd be fine.
By the same logic, if I'm insincere. I'm just
all right,
sincere.
Here we go.
Like, what?
From one of our listeners this morning. The judges should be people that do not know any of the contestants. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree.
What's hard not to know anybody but has no personal relationship? You know, no deep conversations, those sort of things. And I think that was not the case last night.
Probably not.
So there's that. 740-383-9944.
The other graduate would have been, I can't think of names. Let me see. Patience, right?
Yeah, and she got second place, and she got a scholarship. So again, that reeks. And again, if it's not true, then it's not true. I don't know that this stuff's true. I'm just saying it looks a little funny.
Yeah.
It looks a little funny that the two people who graduated high school this week are the two people who got the scholarships. That looks a little strange. Now, I'm not saying they weren't good. They were. But I think everybody was good.
I agree. Yes, everybody was good.
So, here we are. 740-383-9944. But that's all. And I'll tell you, they could do the out loud judging. They just need to put a time limit on it. A minute, something.
I honestly think it'd be better if they just took out the judging portion altogether. I mean, like, if you want to give the judges something to say, I mean, honestly, let the judges be like, oh, that was good.
But you got
to
have a mean judge. That's what people want to hear.
What is it, Simon Cowell?
Yeah.
Everybody needs a Simon Cowell.
Yes, you do. You need somebody who's going to be somewhat critical. Nobody, what do you learn from you're great, you're great, you're great?
It doesn't.
You learn nothing.
You know, it's crazy because I mean, we only went 2 weeks, so maybe there was some you know, constructive criticism going on. But the last 2 weeks, everybody got you could see improvement from last week.
You don't learn anything from that, and clearly the judging, however that was going down, did not reflect that.
Also, what took them? I mean, like it took them a good while to finish judging the competition. They even had, like, a little, I don't know, some kind of, like, challenge game thing where all the contestants, like, got up to the front and...
Oh, that thing.
And I thought it was just, like, a stalling tactic so they could tally up the votes. And then the competition, the little challenge thing they were doing up there was over, and then they still had to wait for the judges to come back.
By the way, I learned how the young kids dance last night, because there were some young kids dancing there.
There was also an older kid dancing there.
Okay, but I saw the young kids dancing, and trust me, I could do that.
Oh, I could, yeah.
So if that's dancing,
that's not how I
could do that.
I don't dance. I like to like headbang. You gotta get the headbanging in, you know.
No, I'm talking to I could put my hands out and
like,
shake them back
and forth. You ever been to a rock concert?
I've seen the rock
concerts.
Yeah,
rock
sure.
Concerts are good stuff. You gotta like get into like a big old conglomerate of people and jump up and down and headbang and. Good stuff.
All I'm saying is I could do some of the dancing that's done now.
I don't know. One of my friends asked me if I was going to get into a mosh pit. I, first off, didn't have the pass to be able to get down to the ground level to get into a mosh pit. And second off, no, I'm not getting in a mosh pit.
Well, there we are. You know what's terrible? Last night was the Capture the Moment dinner, and somebody had given me tickets to that, and I didn't realize it was last night.
Never heard of it. What is that?
It used to be a dinner they used to have every year, but they would have like five older Marion residents get up and talk about their history in Marion. But somehow they changed it this year, I think. And somebody gave me tickets, but I forgot to go. I never saw any publicity for it.
What time was it?
It was last night.
Yeah, but what time?
Probably like 7.
Well, you can only go to one thing, I guess.
Right, but I don't know. Different.
If you could split into, like, multiple people, would you do it?
No. Multiple people?
Let me rephrase. I mean, this is, like, obviously, you know, hypothetical, because, you know, can't do that. But, so, like, you know, right now you're one person, okay? And 1 second is worth 1 second, right? But if you split into two, like, say you had the ability to split into multiple people, but for every person you split into, you have that. So, like, if you split into three different people, that's 3 seconds per second. So, like, you know, every minute is 3 minutes off your life expectancy while you're splitting multiple people. If you go back to one person, then it's still one minute.
No. Now, my question to you is, Memorial Day coming up, do you believe in going and decorating the graves?
No.
See, why is that?
See, I mean, it just makes me sound bad. But, I mean, if you want to go do it, by all means. I mean, your loved ones are your loved ones. But, I mean, like, they're dead.
Yeah, I understand that. But that's the whole point. If they were alive, you wouldn't have to go do that.
I don't. I'm sure people do. I mean, you know, more power to you.
Not like they used to. People used to do that quite a bit. Oh, I don't think you probably weren't listening this week when I told this story. The other day, here's what happened. It was Monday. I was with somebody. I was out with them. And they said they wanted to go visit a couple cemeteries. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'll go with you. So we went out to Pleasant Hill Cemetery. Do you know where that is?
No.
It's off of Holland Road. It's on Pleasant Hill Road, but you have to go down Holland Road. It's out in the Ridgedale area. But anyway, so we go out there, and I had never been to that cemetery in my recollection ever. It's a very old, small cemetery.
You know anybody who's buried out there?
Yes, you can still have people buried there, yes.
Oh, okay.
And this person was recently buried out there, who this person was going to see for the first time. So we go out there, and it's just the two of us, because there's no office. It's in the middle of fields and, like, crops and things like that. So we pull in, and we get out of the car, just the other person and me, and all of a sudden, the other person starts to talk to the dead person. And they say, I don't want to say exactly what they said, but they said something that would not have made the dead person happy. Okay? In that moment, in sunny and bright day on Monday, beautiful day, 80-something degrees, all of a sudden, a gust of wind came, blew the cap off the person's head about 20 feet, almost into the road, where they had to go down into like a gap to get this cap. Now, you can say coincidence.
Yep,
you can say that. Say coincidence, but that's an awful weird coincidence.
Well, I think I'm going to
go to... Captain Bolloff any other place that day.
Okay, yeah.
Or any other time. And we went to another cemetery. No problems there.
Dead people control the weather.
No, I don't think it was the weather.
Well, I think wind counts as weather.
Okay, so just... And we spent the rest of the time in that cemetery, then drove to another, same weather, actually, more people were buried in the other cemetery that we went around and saw. No issues there.
Right.
Yeah, just big coincidence. And
big coincidence.
Exactly as the person was saying what they were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting, because that's where you want to go, but I saw an interview with Martin Short this week, which I thought was fascinating, because Martin Short, an actor.
Okay.
Yeah. His wife died of cancer in the last 10 years. His mother and father died before he was 20. His older brother was killed in a car accident before he was 20. His daughter just committed suicide in the last year, and he was talking about all this because a documentary's coming out on him. And he said when he was young, when his brother got killed, he was devastated by it. Because his brother got killed in a car accident and he couldn't be shown, and he just was devastated by it. And he said he went to sleep one night and he had this very vivid dream of his brother, and it was in color, and he saw his brother, and he woke up and he felt better. And he said that got him through the death of his brother. And he said, you know, theologians would say that that was your brother coming to visit you to make you feel better. Scientists would say that's a boy coping with his feelings. He said, either way, I don't care. It got me through it. So, yeah, that is the agreement you make. You believe what you believe, and they can believe what they can believe. But the truth is, how does that hurt? Do you want to be upset the rest of your life? Do you want to go through more agony and depression?
Well, I mean, you know, life is always better than not life. So if I was the last one on Earth of people I knew to be alive, then it'd be a little upsetting. You know, I don't know anybody anymore, and all my friends are gone. But you know, I'd rather be alive than dead 10 out of 10 times.
But I don't know what the point of that. And that's not the point I'm making. I'm making the point that if people are dying around you and it's causing you severe grief, and something happens that truly does happen that gives you some peace in that moment, why would you try to deflate that, explaining that away in something you can't prove either? There's no definitive proof. That, I mean, how can scientists prove that that dream had no significance?
They can't. I mean, you could probably run some kind of, like, I mean, I don't know, trauma.
You can't.
Trauma test experiment.
No, those are all experiments, and those are all theories. There is no definitive proof.
Science isn't in the business of proving things. It's in the business of predicting things.
Right. So that's it. That's all you got is a prediction. And that's pretty much all that religion or spirituality does.
If my prediction is correct 10 out of 10 times, it's
true. But how do you know? How do you know the prediction was right?
Well, I mean, like, what do you mean?
In that case, how would you know? How, if you had 10 people who had 10 dreams and it made them feel better, how are you going to prove that wasn't a spiritual visit? How are you going to prove that your prediction was right?
How do you... There have been experiments to test if we have, like, it's been a while, because obviously, you know, spirits and whatnot. But, at one point in time, there was a guy who I don't remember exactly how it went down, but they were weighing him, while he died, because they wanted to see, like... Basically, they were trying to see how much a spirit weighed, I guess, something like that. I don't know. It was weird. Obviously, when you died, nothing really changed. So there's that.
Why would it?
Because you're, well, I mean, you're, the soul left the body, I guess.
Well, who said the soul weighed anything?
Well, they were trying to measure to see if it weighed anything, I guess. I couldn't tell, but it was an experiment that was done. Obviously, no...
As I've told, I've come to realize, I said to you last night, you're a fatalist.
I'm not...
You are.
Do you even know what fatalism is?
I do.
Okay, what's fatalism?
Fatalism is you believe everything is bad.
No.
Yes, you believe everything is fatal.
That is not fatalism.
What do you think fatalism is?
Fatalism is kind of like determinism.
Well, you can't say it's like something else. You got to say what it is.
Okay. So, fatalism is like... I believe...
You're really hung up on exact words. You know, I saw something the other day...
Yeah, words have meaning.
No, words don't have meaning. No, they don't. But words have many meanings. And you're very interesting that way. I think that's a little fatalistic.
It's not fatal.
It is.
Fatal.
Because you
didn't even let me describe what fatalism
is. No, but
was.
I don't need to know now. Because you are, as you have said before, you are argumentative. You like to be argumentative. So you pick up on anything that you can find an argument in, even if you don't agree with it. And you harp on that. And that is a... You always tend more toward the glass half empty. Which is a fatalistic attitude.
It's not
optimistic.
Fatalism is like I believe in fate. Basically, everything that's going to happen has already been laid out in stone, and there's nothing I can do to change it. That's fatalism, like fate.
Right, but I don't
believe in fate.
No.
Change my the history. The,
no, no, wait.
The future's not written. I can do whatever I want to write my future.
But now, wait a second. If you believe that everything is going to be bad, that is fatalism. That's what I'm saying.
Who said everything's going to be bad?
every time we have a discussion like this, you tend toward the more pessimistic, negative attitude.
Because I believe that life...
But you don't know.
Because I believe that life is just the end of it all.
Right. Well, no, I don't know if you believe that or not. Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying it's always the more negative. You opt toward the more negative attitude. You always want to go in that direction.
No.
Yeah. Well, what have you been positive about? That thing you did on your mother a few weeks ago, you know how many people have reported back to me that they thought that was awful? That has nothing to do with life and death.
It had nothing to do with my mom. It had to do with Mother's Day.
Right, but it had to do with how you were talking about your mother and that she wanted things and that's why you didn't want to give her things and the fact her attitude toward not getting a gift card or whatever. You know, that's not a great attitude.
She's got a job.
There you go.
Go buy your gift card.
There you go.
Like, what do I got to buy her things for?
What are you... hate Christmas. Went through that at Christmas time.
Don't buy me anything for Christmas.
Okay, again...
I won't buy you anything for Christmas.
Fatalistic attitude.
If anything, it's simplistic. I shouldn't have to do things because the day suggests I should do it. It's stupid.
Bad attitude. Negative.
Because I don't get my mom things on Mother's Day. But by the way, it's not like I just don't do anything. I take my mom to dinner sometimes. See, can I buy my mom things?
Yeah, but your attitude is not one.
But
of,
like, why do I have
care.
To do it on Mother's Day? Valentine's, it's Christmas is a scam. Valentine's Day is a scam. Sweetest Day is a scam.
Now,
Mother's Day is a scam. It's all so you spend more money.
See, now not only are you saying you don't like the thing, now you're calling them scams.
I called them scams the first time we
right,
talked
well,
about
that's
them.
The fatalistic
it's
attitude.
It's because they're scams.
Okay.
Not scams in the sense like, you know, you're going to give me money and get nothing in return. It's a big marketing push.
Okay.
It's a big marketing push.
That's your opinion.
Christmas, Valentine's Day, Sweetest Day. Yeah, big marketing push.
That's
Mother's
your
Day,
opinion.
Father's Day.
Yes, but I don't think you understand. If you had just said, you know, I should have given the card to my mother. I didn't. I'm not a big Mother's Day person. Move on. But you do such a number on it that's the fatalistic attitude.
It's, again, fatalism is like, it's like things are already determined. Nothing is all. I think
that's what you believe.
No.
I think you believe that it's a scam.
I can do what I want.
No, but you don't. I don't think you understand fatalistic.
I don't think you understand fatalism.
No, because you're saying everything is determined by fate. But if you go into it with a negative attitude, you're going to get a negative response. If you believe that it's a scam. It's not going to be positive. You could get somebody something. You could not get somebody something. You believe it's a scam. You all believe it's a hoax. Your attitude is not going to change. What is fate? How is fate going to make your attitude positive towards something you're already made up on?
What?
How is fate? What will happen will happen. If you go into that,
what does this have to do with Mother's Day?
Because your attitude toward Mother's Day is, I don't need a day to celebrate. I don't need to get somebody a gift. I don't care what people feel about that. I don't care about
the attitudes. I think if people really cared about the people who they claim to care
right,
about, they would just do those things year-round.
And that's your opinion. But the point is,
if you need a day to tell you to do something, obviously you don't care that much.
Right? That's your opinion. So, but whatever would happen, which is fate, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, you're going to see it that way. You've already made up your mind. So fate is unnecessary in that particular point.
I'm not following.
Well, you might not. But how is that ever going to change that?
Fatalism would be like, I am fated to believe that Mother's Day, Valentine's...
Which
so
will
like,
never happen. Because you've already made up your mind.
Yes, I made up my mind. It wasn't already predetermined that this would be my out.
This is not an angry conversation.
You're misunderstanding fatalism.
No.
Yes, no. You're misunderstanding fatalism.
Okay.
Fatalism is everything's already predetermined. I don't think things are predetermined.
Well, how are you ever going to get to the side of positive Mother's Day if this is your attitude that's already made up?
Because I don't, like I said, if I, like, what, there is, like,
maybe it's
just
fatalistic.
Buy things for your mom year round. If you, like, why do you
maybe
need Mother's Day?
Maybe it's Fatalistic I'm thinking of. You never know. Fatalistic. I think that's what I'm about. Believing that events are fixed in advance and that your choices can't change the outcome. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I do think you're fatalistic. I think you believe nothing's going to change the outcome as opposed to that of a religious background or a spiritual... Well, can I finish? Or a spiritual outcome where if you do good things, that will send you in a good direction.
I think there is one... Okay, sure. I guess I guess by that logic, I think there is... not even. I just think... It's not... I think we are all fated to, like being... Like, you know, like I said, death, I think, is nothingness. Pretty good and well.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean? One second. Now I gotta, pull it up.
Yeah. A fatalistic person usually responds with passive acceptance or apathy. Apathy. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. You have a great apathy about these...
Fatalistic describes the belief that outcomes are predetermined and humans are powerless to change.
I think that's what
you believe. I don't think that's the case.
I think you believe that.
I think people are very capable of changing things. They do. What do you mean? We have changed things. We ban things all the time.
Believing that events are predetermined.
Things are not predetermined. Problem solved right there. I don't believe things are predetermined. I'm not fatalistic.
You do. You believe you go in the ground. That's done. That's predetermined. There is no chance. That's fatalistic. Go ahead,
specifically
caller.
That thing.
Go ahead.
Scott, do you believe that God's going to punish you?
I'm not saying what I believe. I just don't go around trying to tell people what is and what isn't.
Right, but, you know, there's people that believe, you know, if you kill the firstborn son, you know, that, and sacrifice him, you know, that you do it for God, and
here's
better for
we got to go to break, but
like
here's the point I was making about the hat story, which is where this started.
Or something, you know.
Well, here's a story I was making and why I called Matt fatalistic, and I'm sticking to it now that I've read the exact definition, about the hat story, is that I believe, and the person I was with believed, that that could have been that person blowing that hat off their head because of the way it happened. Now, do I know that for sure? No. Do I know that that means anything? No. I don't have a predetermined concept on that. But when I brought that to this table, Matt was absolutely not anything but the weather. Predetermined. Wind, no chance of anything.
Not
even a chance.
You know what words mean. That is not what predetermined means.
He's getting a little upset.
Well, I agree
He's getting
with
a little
that.
Upset.
It was nothing but the weather.
What
that
is...
was God giving you a little
but
message
how,
there, was
how do you know that there's no up? How
well,
do you know?
I don't know, but I'm not...
No, I don't know, then it's not predetermined.
I've never seen a ghost either, but I'm not scared of Casper.
Okay.
I'm not scared if I do something bad, Casper the ghost is going to come...
No, but I... So how do you not know what predetermined means?
I'll walk through any cemetery
you,
3 o'clock in the morning.
Predetermined would be like it was predetermined.
Something's going to get me.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What would get me...
Wait, no, we got to go to break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this. And it's predetermined that we will come back after this, but not a guarantee. So there you go. We'll be back.
Offering remote and on-site technical support, network setup, and computer troubleshooting for homes and businesses. Website pctech.biz.